Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show, and we are back with a brand new live episode. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve, back from vacay, and he'll soon be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of pre-owned inventory. Great service department that is there for you with your current vehicle, with the diagnostics, with the inspections, with all the routine maintenance for your current car, and a sales staff that's not just there for the sale, but they are there for you to make sure you have the right car that's right for you at the right price. All a part of the Sunbury Motors guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Monday show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, and yes, RV and boat. Lake Augusta will soon be back open, maybe at the beginning of next week, definitely by the end of the month. Good to hear that at the tail end of last week, so make sure you're all ready to go. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The true pros. They have all of your insurance needs. And, of course, we have the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up on Wednesday, August 10th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We will be there. I, unfortunately, will not be there. I'll be on vacation that week. But the suit will be there with Steve golfing and doing the show live from the patio there at the country club. So always look forward to that. Always a fun time and raising a lot of funds for a great cause, the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So looking forward to that coming up on Wednesday, August 10th. And today, looking forward to another big show to get things back going again as Steve returns from vacation. Coming up at 3:35 today, we got the executive director of the PIAA, Bob Lombardi, who's joined us before on the show. Last time we had him, we were in the height of COVID. But we got a much different topic to get into with him. As it was reported earlier, or I should say late last week, where the PIAA is looking to implement NIL for athletes as early as next year. So we'll get into that with him at 3:35 today. As far as that goes for me, that just makes me nervous about high school sports. Just my quick two cents on this as someone who also covers high school sports in this area. If you want to do NIL for college sports, especially at the Division I power level, sure, that's fine. We've had that discussion before. I just think overall, it's just these kids aren't ready for that at this young age, are they? I think that's just that, number one. But number two, the PIAA has had many issues trying to control the transfers and the quote unquote recruiting going on with the Philly schools mostly. And that, to me, if you have NIL, that just adds to it for those types of schools that are continuing to maybe try to go that front a little bit. And as far as the excuse is that you don't want to lose all state athletes to other states, that really has never been an issue, at least in my view, where you have athletes leaving to go to other states for better opportunities. I mean, it's, at least in this area, I haven't. I mean, someone could tell me if there has been, but I haven't seen it across Pennsylvania where we've had issues like that. So I don't like where this is going, but we'll talk to Bob about that at 3:35 today. Then at 4:35, we got Wheels back with us today. Former Phillies broadcaster Chris Wheeler will join us at 4:35 today. First half of the MLB season wrapped up. You got the Home Run Derby tonight out in L.A. at Dodger Stadium.
Really?
You got the All-Star game.
We're going to talk about that.
I don't know.
The Home Run Derby?
Well, not necessarily that. I'm just mentioning that that is tonight. But we have a lot to recap from the first half of the MLB season where the Phillies stand with Wheels coming up.
Can't wait to talk to Wheels. We're going to talk about the state of the game. Some good, some not so good. The Phillies got hot before the break. And I think that's great. Okay? And I think that's fun. So the Phillies got... did well, and that some certain elements have come together for them, which is great. The Yankees. I mean, they'll get to the postseason. Giancarlo Stanton will hit a third inning home run. Everybody will celebrate it and then realize they lost. Wait a minute.
No, senor.
I think. The state of the game is interesting. You're going to have, and I'll give you an example. Here's the state of the game. Bednar's up the all-star, right? Okay, he's their all-star. Is he a Pirate in 2 weeks? No.
Probably not, yeah.
Adam Frazier started in the All-Star game last year representing the Pirates. Was he a Pirate 2 weeks later? Nope. The baseball, every sport has haves and have-nots. Every sport has them. We see it in college. Duke has always been a have. Okay? Always has been a have. For the most part, Wake Forest has been, in basketball, a have-not. Yeah, they've had Tim Duncan. Yeah, they've had Chris Paul. But for the most part, they've been okay. But Kentucky's always been a have in basketball. Always has been. They've been a have in basketball. Okay. Up until the last couple of years, Auburn, for the most part, has been a have-not. College football, same way. Well, baseball... But the difference between baseball and other sports, the NBA is very much a have-have-not sport. But the disparity between have and have-not in baseball is astronomical. And part of it is the lack of a salary cap on the floor. It creates it. And the philosophies of the teams that are in the have-not category. The teams in the have-not category in baseball don't spend money. And as we've said before, the bottom line is what made George Steinbrenner so mad about the luxury tax was not that he had to pay it. It had nothing to do with that. What made him mad about the luxury tax is that the idea was you're supposed to then take the money and no, you're not going to bid for Aaron Judge as a free agent. The Pirates, say the Pirates are taking the money and they're we're going to put into players. They're not going to bid for Aaron Judge. Right? Okay? They can't compete for that. But they can compete for three players that can make them better, that aren't stars but are really good players. And they won't do it. So look at the Phillies. The Phillies are a have. The Phillies have built with Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, Aaron Nola. They've built a nucleus with their team, right? Now they've added in Kyle Schwarber to that nucleus. He'll be in the home run derby tonight. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Oh, my almighty!
You know, they added in Wheeler. They brought up through the system Hoskins. They have a nucleus. You know, Alec Bohn came up through the system. But they have a nucleus of players, right? And not only that, Realmuto and Harper, for example, they're on long-term contracts. They have a nucleus of players that are A, really good, and B, popular with the fans. And in turn, are going to be there for a while. What's the Pirates' nucleus? Who do you get attached to? We got O'Neill Cruz. Oh, really? Is he going to be there in 3 years? They're going to trade Bednarz. They might trade Reynolds. We'll see. And they're going to jump up and down about, look at the great prospects we got. Really? But that's Kansas City. That's Miami. That's Oakland. That's Pittsburgh. I mean, those are the have-nots. The have-nots in baseball tread water and go nowhere. That's a problem. Now, everyone has a just a thought. Yeah, obviously your teams have, and that's all they do is spend money. I mean, obviously the last 13 years they haven't spent it well. But, I mean...
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But, look at your team. Your team has a nucleus. Aaron Judge is part of the nucleus. Right? They, you know, Gleyber Torres. Yeah, they got him in the deal with the Cubs with Chapman, but he's a part of the nucleus. Stanton, of course, now is part of the nucleus. They acquired Rizzo, so he's in addition to. Donaldson's in addition to. I'd say Hicks is part of the nucleus. Now, before that, Brett Gardner had been. Cole obviously is. And you look at, let me give you a great nucleus part. The Yankees have Cole, Jameson Taillon, Clay Holmes, part of the nucleus, right? Right?
Correct.
Pirate.
Exactly.
They should be all part of the Pirates' nucleus that fans are attached to.
And maybe they add a guy like Jose Quintana.
But Quintana's going to be dealt. He's going to be dealt in 2 weeks, too.
Yeah.
He's going to be gone. Contenders are going to offer, and all the fans are going to look at the prospects. We're going to like, oh, golly, really? I mean, I roll my eyes every time I see that. These guys don't usually pan out. My goodness. They don't usually pan out. I'll never forget the trade they made with the Red Sox. Well, the Red Sox got Joel Hanrahan and Brock Holt. Hanrahan did nothing. The Red Sox got Holt. He was pivotal. The Pirates got zero. They got four prospects. Can you believe the way we got? I remember when the fans were coming up to me. You're a big Red Sox fan. How does it feel to lose those guys? I said, who cares? What? I said, Holt will help them win. Holt helped them win. The guys the Pirates got did the expected. Zero. That's the glory of prospects. I mean, what were the prospects that the Phillies got for Cole Hamels?
I honestly don't remember off the top of my head.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
They got some guys that played a little bit in the majors, but they didn't help. That's what happens. That's why they're prospects. It's a fancy way of saying you've done nothing. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
And that hits Sale, and it goes into right field. Torres will score, and Sale is walking off the mound. That really got him.
Yeah, that's a broken finger, Mike. That ball went right off his hand. There's just no other way. You can see that pinky is just disfigured.
Michael Kay and Paul O'Neill, the only time during the course of the broadcast they actually showed emotion. No offense, those guys are flat. I don't know what you think of them.
I've always liked the two of them together.
I think the Yankee broadcasts are flat. I mean, I really do, but that's just me. I think the Red Sox broadcasts on TV are flat. Meanwhile, I think the Phillies broadcast on TV, I think Tommy brings a lot of juice to the table. Love it. Greg Brown, you know, the Pirates don't win, but Greg Brown brings juice to the table. He's fun to listen to. He's exciting. But a lot of stuff, we got 162 games, it's like, no, every game's a, whatever, that's just me. Okay. Yeah, Chris Sale, a 6 years deal. The trade will always be worth it in that he got the last three outs of the 2018 World Series all on strikeouts to close it out. So the trade's always going to be, and he was pivotal in getting them there. But since he signed the new contract, which I remember when he signed it, I was like, I don't know about this. That's one of the dangers of signing a long-term contract like that. That's a big commitment to put in. And again, now let's take it to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is an everyday player, and he's putting together the year of his career. He's on a pace to hit, 59 home runs, I believe? But you're going to commit long-term to a guy that spends a lot of time in the IL? Turns out this is a year he's not. But that's the problem with this. It's all guaranteed money. Sale's going to be out. He's already been out with a broken rib this year. He's had Tommy John. Now this.
I will say this. The Juan Soto contract offer worries me now a little bit for what's to come with Allrise himself.
Yeah, but at least Soto plays every day.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Juan Soto could be a Yankee. What do you think?
I wouldn't hate it for the right price.
What, 15 years, $440 million?
Not that. You got to save that up for Aaron Judge.
Oh, absolutely. What's Judge now, 90? All right. let's bring in one of the really great guys out there. Passionate cares. And that's Bob Lombardi from the PIAA. Bob, how you been?
Good, Steve. How about you?
Doing great. How's the golf game, by the way?
When I'm with Ken Miller, it's really good, but you can't play with Ken Miller. He's in another world.
Well, Kenny's just... In fact, I saw Kenny 10 days ago. We were talking about you. He loves your game, by the way. So I'm the same way. I'll get out there with Greg Nye, the golf coach, and Greg will say, well, try this and try this. And like, when the round's over, I feel a lot better. Then the next time I go out and I don't have him. It kills me. Name, image, and likeness. You and the PIAA have had to navigate a lot of different issues over the years. What's been the biggest challenge with this, especially based on Pennsylvania law?
Well, our law right now speaks only to collegiate athletes. So that has helped, and it's also been maybe a potential problem. But we want to get in front of it because there's a lot of trickle-down effect. And we've been watching very closely our brother and sister state associations. And right now, I believe there's 12 of them that have adopted an NIL policy. And there's another 10 on the drawing board. So the tough part about this, Steve, is the misinformation. Some people like to use catchphrases. And this has been thrown out there as pay for play, which it's not, and that has really caused some issues for us here.
Yeah, and that's what's interesting about is pay for play. And every state has a different law or the interpretation. Quinn Ewers, who is now at the University of Texas, has always been really the poster child of what I'm about to talk about, because he was, as a high schooler, he would not be allowed to get any name, image, and likeness deals in Texas. So he reclassified and went to Ohio State for 4 months, 5 months, and then finally transferred to Texas as a collegian. How often do you and state associations talk to each other about what the respective laws are in each state to get a better gauge?
Well, we're fortunate. There's 8 states in our section. We're section 2 of the NFHS out of the 51 state associations. And our brother and sisters are Delaware, D.C., Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and ourselves in Maryland. And right now, they're all talking about them. Our friends to New Jersey have a policy. Our friends to the north in New York has a policy. Ohio defeated theirs, but the reason they defeated theirs, from the information we have, is because they put the onus on the school. Some schools thought they had to approve this, and nobody wants to get involved in that. So our section talks weekly, and we have shared with them where we are with this. And it is really the middle-of-the-road type language, Steve. And the other part of it is we wanted to get in front of it because we don't want to see a student that's a senior get caught in the net, so to speak, that people are out there fishing for sharks and they catch dolphins. That's not a good thing. So we want to work with a group and provide education to moms and dads to know what they can be doing and what they can't. And paying students to play is not one of them.
Right. Is there any talk, Bob, in the Pennsylvania legislative system of expanding this so that high schoolers could be a part of a name, image, and likeness and not be pay for play, but expanding the definition of what they have in the state.
I'm not aware of that, Steve, at this time. I'm sure there's conversation, but I think with that, with the eye on that a little bit, we would like to develop our own language that our member schools would like, that they're comfortable with, instead of having a top-down approach that you have to accept what is given to you.
How would you feel about federal legislation where there would be a sense of unified law?
Well, you know what? If everybody's singing from the same hymnal, I think that would be all right. But the NCAA has walked away from that and sort of dumped, you know, you talk to Dan over there in the football ops office or Matt in the Pitt football ops office, they're going to tell you at the collegiate level it's like the Wild Wild West. Well, heck, we don't want that to happen. We want to get in front of this and provide a proactive approach to mom and dad and guardians and family so they can make educated decisions and not get caught up in something as simple as tax implications or financial implications that students at 18 years of age aren't ready for.
Exactly. Believe me, there are adults of 28 years of age aren't ready for it either.
Hey, we could go higher than that, brother.
You're right. We could go higher in a number than that in terms of the age. No question. So if you had a chance, based on talking to other associations, to craft an idea and send the PIAA in a direction, what direction?
I'm sorry, I lost you there for a second.
If you've talked to enough associations within the states, what direction do you idealistically, if you had a chance to sit down with the legislature, and you've had your chances, obviously, but to talk about this issue, what would be a couple of ideas that they would need to consider legislatively that could make a difference?
Well, I think the language that we've come up with to not have school employed or affiliated people with booster clubs or coaches, administrators, alumni, they cannot solicit, arrange, or negotiate or pay for a student's use of their NIL or even give consideration to the student for a use of their NIL and not use school name, nickname, uniform, any school identifying apparel or involved with PIAA or their member school in it. That would be a really good start. And that's the language we have that we've sort of taken from California, New Jersey, and New York. It's real simple. It's the middle of the road. And we think that would be a great foundation to start with this.
Right, let's look at the past year. We've been slowly but surely working our way out of the pandemic. Some would say we're in an endemic stage. You staged championships this year with fans. How did you feel it went?
But it went great. Moms and dads were coming back in communities. I believe our crowds were better than they had been. I think electronic ticketing, so people can have an ease of buying a ticket rate at home or from their phone or computer, helped. It helped them easily get that so they don't have to go to the school and buy one and have the exchange of paper money and those type of things. So I think I would say, looking back on this school year, especially what we came out of a year ago, was a very, very satisfying year, even though there were a number of challenges.
What did you learn out of the challenges of the pandemic that you're applying now because it was a learning experience?
Number one, nothing's cast in stone.
It can change
in a heartbeat, and you better be able to adapt and adjust and restructure or whatever you think is in the best interest of those involved, because we've had to do that for 2 years, really. And this past year was a lot better than the previous. Because, of course, the previous year, as you know, we had restrictions on spectators and numbers and indoor facilities and the wearing of masks. And all. It certainly was a challenge for everybody involved. But, you know, like anything else, Steve, and you've seen this better than anybody, when challenges present themselves, people that are doing things for the right reason bond together and put their eye on the target and go get it together.
No question. No question. What does it tell us about the popularity and the strength of high school athletics that when you have a bidding process for championships, that you're getting some fair competition out there to get it? What does that tell you about what the organization with the high schools have done?
It's important. Athletics are a very important piece in every local community. And in some places, it's a major identifier for that community. And because of that, there's a lot of passion and emotion with it that sometimes is really, really good. And sometimes, you know, we get off kilter a little bit. And I guess that's the reason that we've had certain policies and procedures since 1913 to take a look at those so we don't get off kilter. So when everybody does what they're supposed to do, it works. But I'll go back to one thing. Athletics are supposed to be fun. And sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we lose that focus for a lot of reasons. And whether it be advancement or recognition or winning and losing and the things that come with it that way. But athletics are supposed to be fun. And I think the people that we have involved with it are fun, and they keep that priority right there.
So true. I mean, that's so true. Especially at the high school level, it's supposed to be fun. Where are you right now with charter schools, non-public schools versus public schools? Do you like how it's been working integrated the way it has been, or is it something that you need to continue to revisit?
Oh, I think it's an issue that's never going to go away, because I think there's folks out there that think people are playing loose and fast. We haven't found that. Our competition formula that we put in 4 years ago, started 6 years ago, discussion with it, has worked. Our postseason sit-out and our transfer rule has been a major assistance in having people stop the breaks of transfers just to transfer or athletically motivated transfers, and has helped, I think, level the playing field. Right now, we're taking a look at our formula to see if we should even get away from the transfer piece, because we're finding that a lot of the public schools as well as the private schools are having transfers. And the number of transfers at the private schools are probably less than they are at the public. So we're going to look at that competition formula based on success, because there is an outcry on some schools that keep winning, and they say they're not taking transfers. They haven't been proved they're taking transfers, but because they continue to win, people think that they're upsetting competitive balance. So we got to take a look at that.
Gone from 4 to 6 classifications. How do you feel that's worked?
Outstanding, because the people, the schools that are playing, except possibly in the highest class, are playing light-sized schools of their own. And that expansion has really equated and even the playing field from a competitive balance situation.
Now, we talked about name, image, likeness. That obviously is a challenge. What's another challenge you've always got to be thinking about the next thing around the block? After name, image, and likeness, is there something else maybe under the radar that you need to make sure you're ahead of the game on?
Well, I think the change, and this is a little bit down the road, Steve, but I think the way that consumers take events, whether it be television, or we web streaming or audio streaming and those types of things, but that landscape is quickly changing, as you've seen. And the way that people sometimes get some of our contests are changing rapidly. And I think down the road here, as you know, in wrestling, we have quite a relationship with Flow Wrestling that has worked very well, because every individual that's involved with wrestling has seen, you can see every bout from team through individuals, including the championships. And last year they produced something like 4.6 million minutes of time for of wrestling just in our state alone. So that says to me people are tuning in and watching. So I think that's something down the road that we have to take a good look at.
Always good to talk with the man in the arena, and that's you.
You're kind.
You know what? When you're the man in the arena, from 30,000 feet, there are a lot of people that want to, you know, right? And then if once you're in the arena, you understand what you're dealing with. So that's why we talk with you.
Well, you're kind, but I will tell you, it is a different city here. I mean, I go to the grocery store and they have all the answers for me, but that's okay. But I'd like to look forward to seeing you and pay you an invite. You know, our spring festival is off the ground. I'd like to thank the Penn State Athletic Department, along with the Happy Valley Convention Visitors Bureau, to doing everything they possibly could to get our spring festival started next spring. And we're going to be baseball and softball 2 days back-to-back, and then we're going to follow it up with boys volleyball and boys and girls lacrosse on Saturday. So we're really excited about that, Steve. We think we got the right place with the right facilities, and we're really looking forward to it.
And I think that it's going to work out great, because there could be a potential crossover for fans, and to have everything at once, it's going to be a great draw for a lot of people. Well done. I was excited when I heard about the idea. It's great.
Well, thank you. And your support, I know, was behind the scenes, but we can't thank you enough, and we'll look forward to seeing you at some of those events. And maybe even have a cold soda.
Indeed. Or maybe some other beverages. All right. So, water.
Yes,
Bob.
I'm a Gatorade type of guy.
Gatorade guy. Bob, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time and for all the hard work that you and the entire PAAA happens to do.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Steve. Always good to talk to you.
Bob Lombardi from the PAAA. We didn't bring up the suit being suspended. All right, back with more. What? No?
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells fouled up.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, by the way, streaming. Can I give you this? You know how many, the number of subscribers ESPN Plus now has? They started out in the first quarter of 2019 with 1.4. They're up to 22.3 million subscribers now for the second quarter of 2022. It's very impressive. Very impressive. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.